answer them now. Please still...
Your conference is being recorded.
Please still submit your questions to Michael, and then we will address them appropriately within our team and with the folks who specialize in this area. Just wanted to give you an overview first. When we refer to the UltiPro system, basically there are two components that you will hear us using interchangeably, and that would be the core system, which is the HR and payroll system, versus the UTA system, which is the time and attendance system. Depending on your role, you may be using one or the other or both. So if your role is employee admin, then you will primarily use the core system, which is the HR and payroll system, to hire employees, to change their salary, to change their departments, to update their tax information, to update their banking information, etc. If you're a manager, then you would also be able to view all this information, and you will be required to approve some of the changes done within the core system. If you are a timekeeper, then you will be using primarily the time and attendance system to enter your team's hours, either on a daily basis or however you determine to be appropriate for your situation. Ideally, you want to be on top of the things as they happen rather than reacting to something that happened 2 weeks ago where somebody never showed up for their shift or any other changes that you have to make. So we strongly encourage you to record your hours on a daily basis whenever possible. I realize that there are ministry units out there that have hundreds of employees, and obviously that this is not feasible for them. But as a timekeeper, you will also be entering any adjustments to salaried and auto-paid employees. Those are the exceptions. So when they have sick time, you would want to record that particular day as sick time within the time and attendance system. Or same goes for vacation or overtime or any other exceptional changes. If you look at the agenda that Michael is displaying for us, the item number one talks about the cutoff dates for approval. You are probably aware that today the cutoff date to submit timesheets to payroll is Thursday of the week prior to pay date, or in some instances, it may be early morning Monday for those ministry units who run 24/7 operations. With the new system, we're happy to report that now we will not be asking you to submit your hours a day or two early and kind of predict what the hours would be for that Thursday or Friday of the week prior to pay date. We will expect you to have, and we will need you to have, all the hours entered and approved by 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Monday of the pay week, or 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Monday of the pay week, only for those facilities who run 24/7 operations. So just remember 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Eastern for majority, and then those who run 24/7 operations, their deadline has been extended to 12 noon Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Review what to do about stat holidays and approve earlier, item number two. As you know, today you have to manually enter on your timesheet what the stat hours are for those employees who are normally scheduled to work on the holiday. So you would enter, for example, 63 regular hours and 7 hours of stat. But for those employees that are not scheduled, you would normally calculate what the stat pay should be based on their previous 4 weeks, 6 weeks, depending on the province and depending on the legislation. You would calculate what that stat pay average should be paid to the employee. So in Altipro, in the time and attendance system, for those employees that are auto-paid, meaning their salaried pay the set number of hours every week, the system is going to look at their regular shift that they would normally be scheduled to work on the holiday, and we will replace those hours by holiday pay or stat hours. For anybody else that is not paid automatically, so it's not auto-paid, it's not a salaried person, the system will calculate what that stat pay should be based on the legislative rules as they relate to the number of weeks that the employee has worked, or the number of days, or the number of hours that the employee has worked prior to that stat holiday. And those legislations vary from one province to another. In some cases, they include 4 weeks directly before the pay period. In other cases, the two prior pay periods, meaning 4 weeks, not including the week before the start holiday. In other cases, it goes back to 9 weeks and in other provinces. So you will no longer have to calculate this manually. However, for the November 11th, for those provinces that do get that holiday on November 11th, you will have to calculate manually and put that calculation in the stat pay field, because we do not have the history in Altipro in terms of what hours and what days and weeks have been worked prior to the holiday. Please remember that although you will put the stat pay calculation in manually, or later on the system will calculate automatically what that stat pay should be, please remember that the manager must approve these hours so that they will flow to payroll in order to be paid. And if you have any questions on this, please don't hesitate to ask or send a text to Michael, and then we will go over those. Can you provide a couple of examples of some of the unique payment requirements that are being handled by Altipro? For example, wage enhancements for childcare workers. So yes, the Altipro within the time and attendance system, especially for unionized environments, for those ministry units with specific CBA rules, we are building the system according to those rules. So in UTA, an employee will have to clock in and out at a specific time in order to receive a specific premium as it relates to their hours. So for example, if an employee works from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., they qualify for an evening premium. And according to your CBA agreements, the time and attendance system is configured to attach a dollar amount to those hours, to attach the premium amount to those hours. And it could be $2, additional $2, additional $1.75, additional $5, depends on your CBA. So once this is entered, it will be passed to the HR and payroll system, a core system, and it will show on the employee pay statement as evening shift, shift evening or evening shift, and then there would be a rate also attached to it so that the employee can clearly see what they're getting paid. And then there is a night shift, there is a weekend shift. For non-unionized environments, and I'm not familiar, I'm not sure if non-unionized ministry units are also using shift premiums, but there may be some flexibility in terms of what you can enter. So there will be no rules clearly defined as to what dollar amount or premium you are attaching to those hours. But I would like you to send us, if you're a non-union facility and you follow some sort of rules in terms of what premiums you're paying to your employees based on the time of the day that or night that they're working, if you can send us a list of those premiums, and then we will see whether it warrants for creating specific rules or we can keep that field open so that you can indicate the rates, the premiums that the employees are entitled to. The wage enhancement, for example, that we've noted here for childcare workers, I believe there are different wage enhancement calculations currently in the current system in Cyborg. So we will ensure that the same logic is followed within AltiPro. So you will have a wage enhancement where you will pay a premium dollar amount for every hour worked, in which case you would need to submit the number of hours worked, and the system will calculate. As long as that premium is fixed, it does not vary from one person to another. Let's say it's $2 for every hour worked, then you will need to enter the number of hours, and then the system will calculate the premium, will add 2 hours for each hour.
Alex? Yeah? Alex, okay. Mm-hmm. It's Michael.
Yeah.
I did turn off the mute. And I got some people saying they're not hearing her. Is there anyone out there not hearing Alex right now? Let's do a text if you aren't. Is there anyone listening? Hello, folks. You can hear her? I can hear some noise. Okay, we're okay. I've left it off. Yeah, I left the mute off, which was worked out because everybody seems to be quiet, and that's good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I hope you've heard.
I am taking this as well, so don't worry.
Okay, that's good. So going back to the wage enhancement, so yeah, there is a premium portion that you will have to report the hours, but then I know that some of you or some of the childcare facilities are using a dollar amount, a flat amount that they will pay periodically to these childcare workers. And you will also have an option to enter that dollar amount within the time and attendance system under a different code. I understand that these have to be separated. We can't plunk everything under one code. So for the reporting purposes, we need to separate these different types of wage enhancements, and you will have an option to do that within UTA, and it will flow properly to CORE. The other specific payments that you will be able to enter is, for example, responsibility allowances. You have employees that acquire additional responsibilities and you want to pay them additional dollar amount. You will be able to do that within UTA. In some cases, it's The responsibility allowances are calculated also as premiums. In those cases, you would be able to enter a number of hours, and the premium will calculate accordingly. What other special payments? There's on-call. You will be able to enter the on-call dollar amount, either the dollar amount, like $100 per pay for that specific pay, or you can enter, again, the number of hours, and then the premium will be calculated accordingly. If we go to item number five, how has the process for requesting adjustments changed? Discuss how you can go back and make changes in one previous pay period. So the retro functionality has not been fully tested and approved. It has been tested. There are some tweaks that have to be done. So it has not been fully approved. However, the way it's supposed to work, you will be able to go back one pay period. So it's the current pay period plus one additional pay period in the past that and make adjustments to your employees' pay. So if you forgot to add overtime to somebody, or if you forgot to put an exception pay for somebody, if a person got paid regular hours, but in fact they were on vacation for 1 week, you would want to go back and make that adjustment within the time and attendance system. And then payroll will push or pick up that file, those adjustments from the time and attendance, and process them on the next pay basis. If you have to go back further than one pay period, you will have to contact your payroll mailbox, your payroll email directly, and ask them to make those adjustments for you. So you can't go back and say, oh, in January, I forgot to say that this person was on vacation. You can only go back one pay period. Any adjustments prior to one pay period, prior to current, will have to be reported directly to payroll. And that covers the next question as well. When should we contact payroll versus making an adjustment in AltiPro and let it reconcile the next pay? So that's exactly when. If it's within the pay period prior to the current, you can go back and you can make the adjustments, make sure they're approved, and payroll will pick them up on the current pay and make the correction or pay your employee accordingly. There will be some instances where you will have to contact payroll. For example, if you paid an employee full 2 weeks, now we're in the next pay period, the employee is not getting paid this pay period because they're sick. The last pay period, the person was also sick and you should not have paid them. When you make that adjustment, it's not going to go anywhere because there is no current earnings to make that adjustment against. So we can't recoup money back from when we're not paying the employee on the current pay. So there will be some specific situations that you would want to discuss with your payroll contact person before you make any adjustments in the system, in the time and attendance system mainly. Item number seven, explain what to do if an off-cycle adjustment is needed. That's basically the same thing as the retro adjustment. So normally an off-cycle is needed when you somehow you don't record the hours, you miss to pay an employee. Say it's a new hire and the person wasn't set up in time to get them paid or approved in time to get them paid. It's basically the same process that you should follow. You can record those hours on within the UTA, and payroll will pick up those adjustments on the next off cycle. Or you, if you're going back further than one pay period, you would have to contact your payroll representative for them to make the adjustments for you and make sure that those employees are paid correctly. That brings us to item number 8. It's 1226, so we're
I've got a number of questions coming in here.
If you want to ask the questions, we still have time.
Just as a housekeeping, folks, if you have your computer audio on as well, you will get echoes. So turn off your computer because we're only using the phone to communicate by audio. So the question is, will payroll be sending out a new payroll deadline schedule with the approval dates column?
I believe Jeff is doing that. Jeff is doing the communication. So I don't believe payroll will be sending anything as they've done in the past, where you have your pay period dates and the cutoff on Thursday. So Jeff, normally before we go live, Jeff will send a reminder of the cutoff date. So yes, you will have something officially from us, but it may not necessarily come from your payroll representative.
Okay. Sorry, I just lost my... what about those who clock in on time clocks? What if the estimate submitted is different than what is actually swiped into the time clock?
Oh, Michael, we will have to take this to UTA.
Okay.
So please, keep that question for our UTA specialist.
For salary staff, you have said it is a regular working day that would pay regular hours. What if it falls on a regular day off? I think that's referring to holidays.
If a holiday falls on a regular day off, we currently do not do anything with that. We don't. It's only if you're scheduled to work on the holiday is when you're getting your holiday hours. If you're not scheduled, and I will have to confirm that with UTA again, but it is my understanding there is no swapping of hours because there was nothing scheduled for that shift to begin with. But Michael, please keep this question so we can verify with the UTA folks.
Yeah, and Gail has a question. Can we override the stat amount that is figured out automatically? That is, if someone works extra hours over the Christmas season?
You can override, but normally if you do include those extra hours during the Christmas season, then your stat pay should be including those. The system calculated stat pay should be included the extra hours as well. So there could be a timing issue you can override the stat hours.
Haiti was asking what does CBA mean when you were speaking about CBA.
Oh, sorry. It's a collective bargaining agreement. My apologies. I should have stated that. So CBA is only for unionized environments, unionized ministry units, and the collective bargaining agreements have the rules related to their employees clearly identified in terms of the shift premiums and different types of payments and pension plans and whatnot. So for anybody else who is not unionized, the system has been configured to follow the standard TSA policy. And the standard TSA policy is either following the legislation by province or giving you a bigger benefit in terms of vacation pay, in terms of sick pay. So it's either the TSA policy or the legislation, whichever gives you greater benefit.
All right. I'm not sure if you answered this one or not. How to process retro payment on increases that need to be done retroactively?
On increases? You would have to enter the increase on within the HR and payroll system, the core system. So you would have to, just as today, you're submitting paperwork to DHQ to request an increase retroactive to such and such date, and you would then need to make that change yourself within the system and have it approved. That will trigger a retroactive adjustment where the hours that the employee would have been paid at the old rate, at the lower rate, would have been reversed and then paid at the newer rate. So if you have somebody going from $15 an hour to $16 an hour and it's retroactive to June 1st, the system's going to go back and see how many hours you had paid at $16 an hour since June 1st, and it's going to reverse that and pay you at the new rate. So you should see the net pay difference, a lump sum difference of, let's say, 100 hours times $1 difference. So you're seeing $100 more in the gross pay, then the net pay will be reflected accordingly based on the province and the taxation rate.
And retroactive calculations for merit increases, how are they inputted as dollar amounts? Actually, I cover that in the training for managers, putting in merit increases.
It would not be dollar amounts. Again, it would be a rate has to be inputted into the system, into the core system, the new rate, and retroactive, and then the UTA will calculate the number of hours that were paid at the old rate and send the new rate to back to core in order to pay the difference.
Okay. Are items like Christmas bonuses entered manually or automatically?
Christmas bonuses, let me think about that one. Christmas bonuses will probably I believe we would have to follow the same process, and I believe HR would calculate what the persons are entitled to, and then the ministry unit would have to approve that. We haven't really discussed this fully, but I believe the same process would have to be followed, and then I believe you were using spreadsheets in the past where HR will send you a spreadsheet and say, based on this person's seniority, this is what they're entitled to, and then the executive director or somebody at the ministry unit level will have to approve those. And those come back normally to HR, and then HR submits to payroll. I think that process will still have to be followed. There is nothing in the system to say, this is the TSA rule, based on your years of service, you get this much. No, the system is not configured to do that. Sure. So I believe the same process will have to be followed, and you will not be entering this information anywhere, unless we open up this field, and this is something that we would have to discuss internally, unless we open up this field to the time and attendance system, the UTA, where we allow you to enter the Christmas bonus amount directly on the employer record, which will then be sent to the payroll system and paid accordingly. I think, Michael, we have to get back to this one.
Yeah, I know that as an e-admin, you can add a Christmas bonus, but I don't know how that flows through or if that's in place or not.
You can't, you can't, I don't think you can add a Christmas bonus. Normally, that wouldn't be added to the employee record because this is not something that you receive every pay. Recurring pay. It's not an earning. It's not like, every pay I get my meal allowance of $5. So that'll be added to my employee profile, and I will be getting, as long as that earning has not been stopped or inactivated, that will be paying the employee the $5. Christmas bonus is different. This is a one-time payment and really should not be added to the employee record. And for that reason, I think we can do it two ways, doing it the old way. And I'm not sure if HR will require that same old process to be followed where they calculate and send it to the ministry unit, and then the ministry unit say, yay, nay, yeah, this is right, no, this isn't, and then they approve it and send it back to HR. I'm not sure that will still be a requirement of HR. If not, then perhaps we can open up a field within the time and attendance where the employee or the timekeeper will have an opportunity to enter the dollar amount, and the manager will still have to approve it.
Okay. Once entitlements have been added to the system on October 21, will the system automatically start calculating the entitlements thereafter?
The entitlements, like vacation entitlement and sick entitlement, is that what we're...
That was Millie. Millie, a clarification on that? Millie, you out there?
Okay, if Millie is not able to clarify that for us, if I'm understanding this correctly, the entitlements, normally when we talk about entitlements, we usually refer to vacation entitlement, sick entitlement. We will have to confirm that the entitlements will start calculating, I believe, January 1st, first pay of January, because by the time we add the transition the employees from one system to another, it's already November, so even if the system does calculate, it's only for one month, 2 months, so we would still need to know what happened between January and November. So for that reason, I believe the entitlements will start calculating in January.
Okay.
The accrual.
An example of off-cycle adjustment are terminations which need to be paid out 3 days from date of termination in Alberta.
Absolutely. Those.
How will these off-cycle adjustments be handled?
Correct. For those provinces, and I believe that's BC, possibly Alberta, and I'm not sure if there's any other provinces that do have that requirement, but absolutely for those that have to have the payment issued within the 48 hours of termination, definitely we will do an off cycle for those.
Okay. If an employee works from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., which is split between regular hours and stat pay, does the system recognize this, or do we have to split the hours? That's
7,
Susan.
7 p.m. to 7 a.m., so it's a night shift?
Yeah. And the split between regular hour and stat pay.
The system should be able to recognize that, but again, this is more of a time and attendance question. Michael, I'm sorry, we'll have to go back to...
Yeah. And in our collective bargaining agreement, if a relief person works a stat holiday, say for 8 hours, they are paid for 8 hours. And that overrides the calculation. Is that correct?
If that's clearly stated in your CBA, in your collective bargaining agreement, then the UTA, the time and attendance, will be configured accordingly.
Okay. Does the system automatically change the RRSP contribution rate at the milestones for years of service?
Yes, it does.
And is a question, could you describe how we process a bonus lump sum payment for employees who took on added duties for a short period of time?
That would be the responsibility allowance. So you will, it's already set up as a bonus lump sum type of payment. So all you need to do is enter that dollar amount on the time and attendance. There will be a separate code other than hours based. So these codes where we're adding lump sum payments. I'm not sure what they're labeled, but it's a dollar amount rather than the hours. So if you have additional responsibilities and are paying additional $200, then you would enter it there. And the way it will be taxed is as a lump sum bonus payment and will be added as such to the employee pay.
And another acronym that was used, UTA, is that's just UltiPro time and attendance.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's exactly what that stands for.
When we enter a merit increase, does the system flag red circled employees automatically and process that merit as a lump sum payment? Is that the same question we just covered?
We'll have to go back to HR for this. My apologies. I believe the pay grades have been put on hold. They were partially built, but there is a whole new compensation system coming out from our HR folks, from the HR department, which will not be ready before we go live. So I'm sure that there's other alternative ways to capture those that will be red circled, but I can't say for sure whether the system today is configured to do that. Michael, we can refer this back to the HR folks, either Kathy or Josie, and get Jean involved as well. Thank you.
If an employee is missing, say, 4 hours of overtime, under our collective agreement, we'll have to do an off-cycle adjustment. We spoke about that.
Okay. So
I can't then adjust it in the UltiPro system as it will pay them again. Is that correct?
We'll have to be very careful about timing, yes. So this will have to be coordinated. And I think once we have that retro adjustment functionality fully outlined and tested and approved, we would provide you with some guidance when you would actually need to enter it within the time and attendance system, and then payroll will just pick it up and process as an off cycle versus when you only send it to payroll. So I agree, we'll have to be very careful about the timing, because if you're requesting it from payroll and they're processing it on their side, but then you go back 2 days later and you put it in UTA just to keep the two systems consistent, yes, it may mean that the employee is going, as long as it's approved, that the employee is going to get paid again. So we'll have to be very careful about coordination of those dates. Because the retro functionality is based on when you make the change in the time and attendance system. It's not when it was effective. It's not whether it's effective January 1st, but if you make the change on September 26th, then the retro file that payroll will pick up and process is based on that date, September 26th. Irregardless when the change was effective. So it could have been effective September 25th or January, well, not January, because you can only go one pay period, but it's when you make the change. So if you make that retro change, if you request payroll to issue an off cycle, and then you go in later, a couple of days later, to put that same request, the same number of hours in UTA, we have to be very careful that payroll will not capture that again on their next off cycle. So we'll have to issue some clear guidelines once the retro payments have been fully tested and approved, and we're expecting to have that done within this or next week. So there will have to be clear guidelines, and Michael, this is for your team as well and for Jeff,
mm-hmm.
that we communicate clearly the risks that could be associated with doubling the payments or not understanding the dates to make sure that this doesn't happen. So this is truly a big item, and especially because we're still in the development of this, and it's still new to us all, to all of us. We have to make sure that everyone understands how this functionality is to be used.
Right. Will the benefit forms need to be mailed by Canada Post to THQ, or will they be uploaded in the system?
Benefit forms. You guys are tough. I'm not benefit. I'm not HR. The benefit form. I thought there was one form. I think you're going to be uploading them all. Some are electronic, but I believe there is one form that requires a physical signature of the employee, and it could be something to do with life insurance or I can't recall, but I don't
if we can upload them, we can, but otherwise, if we require a signature, we maybe not. Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe they'll have to be mailed. I believe that they will be uploaded in the documents tab page on the employee record.
Okay, and this is from Haiti. What happens if an audit in benefits, an adjustment or reimbursement is needed? What's the process?
You would need to correspond directly with your benefit team, or now it's going to be the THQ team here, and they will analyze it, they will calculate what the adjustments should be, and they will work with payroll to process the adjustments. We have to be mindful that we cannot go back to make lump sum adjustments that will exceed current year-to-date deduction. So, for example, if an employee was paying for a coverage that should have been stopped back in 2015, and so we have to, or 16, and then we have to process a large lump sum refund that exceeds what has been deducted year-to-date this year, there will be some additional coordination and additional information that will have to be done, because that cannot be done within the payroll system because it exceeds the year-to-date. So then you'll have to work with your benefit contact person to get the reimbursement through accounts payable. But normally a small adjustment where one pay was missed, two pays were missed, or the person was enrolled in single, should have been family, and yes, that can be, those types of adjustments can be sent to your benefit contact person, and they will work with payroll to make the adjustment.
Okay, just a clarification. Tamara, for Millie, you're talking about the benefits form. She's suggesting that original signatures must be received by the provider.
Okay, so that there was something about original signatures, but then also I know Tamara Gladys confirmed that legislation or that rule has just been lifted recently. So we would really need to confirm with Gladys and with the benefit team if they still require that, if the provider still requires that physical signature.
Okay. And what reports will be available and when?
The report that payroll-related reports is basically whatever you're getting today, you will continue receiving in slightly different format, and normally those reports are distributed right after the payroll has been processed. So you will receive, if the payroll, the bank deadline, the payroll bank deadline is, I believe, Tuesday of the pay week. So you can expect your report, to receive your report on Wednesday or ideally on Wednesday. When we're late, it'll be Thursday, but the goal is to have the reports distributed on Wednesday. However, if I just may make a note, you will have access to your employee data now. So you don't have to depend. You don't have to wait for that report unless you're doing some kind of analysis and you're reviewing multiple employees. But if you want to check one person to make sure that they did get paid, let's say it was a new hire that was set up last minute and you were not sure whether it's going to make it for this pay or not, you don't have to wait for that report to receive and to verify whether the person is getting paid or not. You do have access to your employees as a payroll, as an employee manager or employee admin, or the employees themselves will have access to their records or to their pay statements 2 days prior to the pay date. So basically on Tuesday night when they log in, they can see exactly what they're getting paid.
Yeah. A question I missed earlier. What about those who clock in on time clocks? What if the estimate submitted is different than what is actually swiped into the time clock?
There should be, again, this is a more of a time and attendance, but there should be no estimated time clock anymore because we are not cutting you off on Thursday. So you have until Monday to enter and approve your time. The pay period ending date is a Friday, a prior Friday. So, or midnight Friday for those who run 24/7 facilities. So on Monday, you should have your full actual hours, and there should be no reason to estimate. If you had estimated something and didn't base it on the actual hours, then on Monday, before the hours are approved and sent, and the, before payroll picks up that file, you should be adjusting those and making sure that they reflect the actual hours worked.
And will people, will employee admin receive the reports, or will it be sent to specific people?
I believe we're following the same distribution guidelines that are have been set for Cyborg. So if the employee admin is receiving those, I believe they will continue to receive the reports.
And Celia is asking, how do you adjust estimated hours on Monday when the cutoff date is Friday and there is no, when there is a staff?
The cutoff date is Monday. The pay period ending date is Friday.
Okay.
So Monday, you would have a full picture of the 2 weeks that the person is going to be paid for. So there's no, maybe I'm missing something. There should be no estimating hours. You have Monday of the pay week to submit your hours. The pay period ending date for hourly. Okay, maybe this is the confusion. For hourly employees, it's Friday prior to the pay week, so there's no estimation. For salaried employees, because they're paid current, so they're paid up to the Friday after the pay date. Normally, they're scheduled, they're auto-paid, so they have scheduled shifts that includes or does not include the stat holiday based on their schedules. If the person showed up on a stat holiday, and we have to pay them the premium, this is considered as a retro adjustment. So it can be recorded and payroll will pick it up. So that's probably the confusion between the auto-paid and the hourly employee. The auto-paid employees, salaried that are paid current, if there is a change to their hours in the second week of the pay period after the payroll has been closed, then in such case, we would use this retro functionality to make the adjustment. And the retro adjustments will not always result in an off cycle. If it's simply just swapping the hours and reporting vacation instead of regular, or if there are a few hours that were missed, that can wait and be adjusted on the following pay. Okay, otherwise it would be an off cycle that's based on that retro adjustment.
And Connie's pointing out that in BC, with the time difference, we'll not have a chance to adjust on Monday. So any Friday night changes will not be reflected?
If it's a Friday night, then that means that's a 24/7 facility, or maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't assume that. you have till 12 o'clock. It would probably be best thing to contact your payroll representative at that time and just tell them we're sending additional, we're making additional changes. But be mindful that all of the changes have to be done by noon Eastern, noon Monday Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. I'm afraid it's coming to the time where I'm going to have to exit the call because I have a training on this session. Can anyone who has a question that did not get answered or has a question that comes up later on, or if you have a question that needed clarification, just to be sure I got it, can you email your question to me, and I'll keep them, and we can share them at the next session next week. So I'm going to say thank you very much, Alex, for your time and attendance here.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Appreciate your offer. Okay, goodbye.
Bye.